Turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 1. So just kind of flip back right to the very beginning. About verse 26, 27 is where we're going to actually look at. So turn to Genesis chapter 1. We're continuing, of course, our study of what we're calling God's truths. Of course, this semester in the Grow Groups, we're looking at key biblical truths that we need to know and apply and pass on. Now, let me tell you, this is important. This is not just a Sunday school lesson. I'm going to say it in this way. The things we've been trying to do this semester are biblical truths, foundational biblical truths that every one of us in this room need to know. And so that we can be ready, as we said right here, that we can be ready to give an answer. So you can follow along in your handout, the goal to be ready to give an answer for the hope that is within us. And that's what we're trying to do. So that if people talk about things, let me just remind you of some things we've seen. You don't have to think about this or write this down or anything, but we've seen revelation, which is God making himself known. We've seen inspiration, which is God making himself known in written form, which is the Bible. We've talked about the gospel, the death and resurrection of Christ and believing in him. We've seen the gospels, the four books of the New Testament, which basically show the fulfillment of the Messiah of the Old Testament. We looked at creation and evolution. We talked about the fall. We saw God's provision, the seed of woman. We saw the three-phase plan of salvation, how we have been saved, we are being saved, we will be saved. We've seen the truths of reconciliation, which is the story of the Bible, how God, the perfect God, brings sinful man back to himself using his son, Jesus Christ. So we've seen all of these things. Now, for the last couple of weeks, we looked at some theological terms. And when you say theological terms, sometimes people go, oh, okay, well, you don't need to know that because that's theology. Well, no, theology, theology comes from theos, which is the Greek word for God, and logos, which is the Greek word for word. And so theology is words about God. So all theology is we're talking about our God. And we looked at these four words. You don't have to, most of you know the answers already, but we looked at substitution, which is to take the place, and we talked about how Jesus took our place by dying for us. We've seen propitiation as how he made the satisfactory payment for our sins. We saw justification, that when we believe in Jesus Christ, we're declared to be righteous. We even saw imputation, which is means to be made righteous, and we've seen all that. Well, this morning, we have one more and one more term that we're going to look at, and it's regeneration, and most of us know regeneration. In fact, on your handout, I've got regeneration. What does the word mean? It carries the idea of being made alive. It has the idea of being born again. It has the idea of being born from above. We know that as believers or as people, as we come into this world, human beings are dead, spiritually dead, and regeneration is when God makes us spiritually alive, and we're going to see it as we go through this. And so it carries the idea of rebirth and be made alive. We'll actually go to John chapter 3. We're going to go really fast because we have to. There's just not enough time, but we're going to look and see how all this fits together. Well, I want you to think about this, the birth of a child. If you've ever been there, now I know some generations, and at least my generation, the daddy's got to go in there. We got to go in there. I got to see both my girls born. I know generations earlier that most of the time the men weren't in there for the births. But so many of us have been there, and we've watched those babies be born, and it's a miracle. And Psalm 139 says that each child is fearfully and wonderfully made. When we look at the scripture, we find another miraculous birth. And what I want you to think about is there is miraculous physical birth. I've got just as there is a miraculous physical birth, so also there is a miraculous spiritual birth. This is called regeneration. This is great truth. We call this regeneration. We call it being born again. Literally in the Greek, it says being born from above. We realize that God takes a person who is spiritually dead. That's all people as we come into this world. We're dead in trespasses and sins. And what does he do? He makes us alive. You might say, what difference does it make? Why do we need to be alive? And to be spiritually alive is how we can know and understand God. And we'll talk more about that in a minute. So this morning, what we're going to do is look at regeneration. And it is a foundational truth. So all these things we've been giving you over these weeks are not just things to say, oh, we went to Sunday school or we went to a Grow Group and talked about this. These are things that every one of us in this room should have an understanding. So if somebody talks to you about being born again or regenerated, you would say, oh, I know what that is. I know how that fits together. So before we get into regeneration, let's look at before the fall. Okay, before the fall, that God created man and woman, and before the fall, he placed them in the garden. That's the top of page 2, and we got the man that is Adam. And what we saw is that God made man, in our image. Genesis 1, 26, look what it says. Then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness, and let them have rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over the cattle and over all the earth and every creeping thing. If you've never looked at this carefully, you might just read that and say, yeah, notice. And God said, let us. Have you ever thought about that? That's talking about God says, let us. It's plural. He's not talking about angels, because angels don't create. Right there we see who? The Father, the Son, and the Spirit. He says, let us make man in our plural image. He's going to make man in the image. In verse 27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female. He created them. So what we see is man, God, Adam was made in the image of God. Now let me show you something. Just as God is a Trinity, so to speak, man is a Trinity. Look, we have a body, a soul, and a spirit. Now, this is before the fall, so think about what we're saying. Before the fall, when God created Adam, he gave him a body, which held everything together. He gave him a soul, which relates to the world around us. The Hebrew word is nephesh. It means breath, okay? And then he gave a spirit, which relates to God. So man, it was a body, a soul, and a spirit. That's where we are. And see, everything was going good. So he created man. Genesis 1 gives the overview. It says he created male and female. He created them. We know until we get to chapter 2 when he gives us the details that he created the man and then he took the woman out from the man. Now, I want you to look at chapter 2. Look at verse 15. Here's what God did. God took the man, put him in the Garden of Eden to cultivate it. And he said, from any tree you can eat, but look at verse 17. But from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for that day you shall eat, you shall die. He put him in the garden, and he said, do not eat from that tree, right? Do not eat from that particular tree, or from the tree that is in the middle of the garden. It's the tree of the knowledge of what? Good and evil, because if you eat from that tree or if you deal with that tree, you're going to learn what? Good from evil, right from wrong. That's what the whole point was. There was nothing different about that tree than any other tree. It was just the fact he said, see this tree right here? It's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Don't eat from that tree. And then he said something. He said, in the day, see, if you eat from that tree, he said, do not eat from that tree, because if you do, in the day that you eat from that tree, what's going to happen? Dying, you shall surely die. I've got on your hand out there. What would happen? Now, in if you look at verse 17, it says, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat from it. For in the day that you eat from it, you will surely die. In the Hebrew, it says, dying, you will die. And that's why we're saying you're going to die spiritually and you're going to die physically. They go together. And so from that point on, now what happened? What happened? They ate it, and they fell. Because see, what happened, it says, after the fall, and what we see is Adam and Eve ate from that tree, and the moment they ate from that tree, they did what? They died spiritually, right? They didn't die physically. Because some people say, well, he said, if you eat from that tree, you'll die. They ate from the tree. They didn't die physically. They died spiritually. Physical death is a result of spiritual death. So I want you to see something. Since, if you remember, that Adam was a body, what was he? Body, soul, spirit. Now, he fell, and he died, well, spiritually. So now let's look at him. Adam has a body, and this is us. This is all of us. A body that holds all things together, a soul which relates to the world around us. Now, meet people come into this world with a conscience, because now we know right from wrong. Genesis 3:22, God said, now that you know right from wrong. It was the tree of what? The knowledge of good and evil. So that's how we all know right from wrong. And then Romans 2:15 actually says the law is written in our hearts. We know right from wrong. People come into this world knowing right from wrong. And then, now this is the big one. We have a flesh, a natural bent to sin. Now let me tell you, in the service this morning, in Galatians chapter 5, we're going to talk a lot about the flesh. We're not going to talk about the flesh much in this class, but in service this morning, we're in that passage in Galatians where he talks about the deeds of the flesh. The flesh is the natural bent to sin. And let me tell you, every one of us in this room, you have a natural bent to do what? To do wrong. Is it back on? Yeah, it's back on. Okay, good. Now, with that in mind, now listen, here's what I want you to see. That in Ephesians, it says we come into this world dead in sin. We come into this world, we are dead in, if you see where it says Ephesians 2:1, right, we are dead in trespasses and sins. That's what we come in. Ephesians 2:1 says we're dead in trespasses and sins. And I've got another little verse for you that says in 1 Corinthians 2:14, it says the natural man doesn't understand the things of God. And the word natural is the word soul. So when we come into this world, we have what? A body? What else do we have? A soul, which relates to the world around us that doesn't understand God. Then we have a what? A conscience. And then we have a what? Flesh. So as human beings come into this world, body, soul, conscience, flesh. What's missing? The spirit. We're missing the human spirit. We're missing the part of us that was spiritually alive, but we come into the world spiritually dead. And we are spiritually dead people. And so where it says, 1 Corinthians 2:14, it says on your handout, it says the natural man or the soulish man. At the top of the next page, it says, now watch what this says, because this is the key. Top of the next page, when we trust Christ as Savior, we are made alive. We are made alive. Understand that. When we trust Christ as Savior, we are made alive. Now, let's look at what we're like when you trust Christ. Now, before we trust Christ, we had a body, a soul, a conscience, and a flesh. Now that we trusted Christ, look at us. We have a body, a soul, a conscience, a flesh, and now we have a human spirit, which is spiritually alive. We've been made spiritually alive. Every one of us in this room, before you put your faith in Christ, you were spiritually dead. You had a soul that could relate to the world around you. You had a conscience. You knew right from wrong. You had a natural bent to sin. But the moment you put your faith in Christ, you're made alive, spiritually alive. And so you still have the body. You still have the soul that relates to the world. You still have the conscience that tells you right from wrong. You still have the natural bent to sin. But now you are spiritually alive. The human spirit is you've been made spiritually alive. Now, on your handout, you need to fill something in. See where it says Ephesians 2, 8, 9? It should say Ephesians 2, 5 and 8 and 9. 2, 5 says, when we were dead, God has made us alive. So you were dead, but now you're what? You're alive. You're spiritually alive. You understand that? That you were dead spiritually. And let me tell you, remember the movie, and I always talk about this, and I know maybe you get tired of hearing this, but it's the greatest analogy in that movie, The Sixth Sense. It was about the little boy, and what could he see? He could see dead people, and he said, and they don't know that they're dead. They don't know they're dead. Well, every day, you and I, we see dead people everywhere. There are people walking around. Every human being coming into this world is walking around in this world spiritually dead. They're dead, and they don't even know that they're dead. We can see them. We know that they're dead. But when they trust in Christ, they become what? Alive, spiritually alive. That's all of us. We're born again. And we are a new creation in Christ. We are a new person. I love this. Ephesians 4:24 says, put on your new self. And he uses an analogy of a coat. He says, you take off the coat of a dead person and you put on the coat of the new person. You're spiritually alive, and that's who we are in Jesus Christ. So it's powerful. Now, we want to see a famous story, okay? We want to see a famous story, so I want you to turn to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. Does anybody, as we're turning there, know what the story of John chapter 3 is? That's Jesus and who? Who? Nicodemus, exactly right. And so we're going to see this. Jesus is going to teach regeneration. He's going to call it being born again. See, because we're born in this world, how? Dead, but we're born physically alive. No, we're born physically alive, right? But we need to be born spiritually alive. We need a second birth. We need to be born again. That's why Jesus said, you must be born again. Well, you could say, well, I've already been born. Right, but you got to be born twice. Because you're born physically alive, but spiritually dead. Now you need to be born spiritually alive. Now for us, for some of you, you've been born spiritually alive for a long time. you trusted Christ as your Savior, and right then you were made spiritually alive. And some of the things you may have noticed is that you could read the Scripture and for the first time understand things in the Scripture, and you'd go, oh my gracious, I've never seen that before. That's right, because you were spiritually dead and you were unable to understand the Scripture. We thought, and many unbelievers think, that they're knowing God and talking to God. I talked to people and I said, if you were to die, would you go to heaven? And they say, oh, yes. I say, why? They said, because I pray to God and talk to God. I said, what's your basis for going to heaven? Well, I've tried to live a good life. Is that person going to heaven? Is that person dead in trespasses and sins? Yes. They think they're talking to God. Now, God hears everybody and everything, and he can answer unbelievers' prayers. He can do anything he wants to do. But those people aren't spiritually alive. They don't have a relationship and fellowship with Jesus Christ. So I want you to see John chapter 3, and we'll look at it. We've got about 6 or 7 minutes, so I want you to see this passage. I mean, this guy comes to Jesus, and he's supposed to know everything. So let's look at it. John chapter 3, verse 1. Now, there was a man of the Pharisees. Pharisees, good or bad? Bad. Well, we say bad. They started out good. They said, we want to live for God, and we want to live according to the Bible. That sounds what? Good. But what they did is they started putting up rules, and before you know it, they thought that the rules is what saved them, not faith. And so they're all confused. They'd be just like talking to a person today that says, well, it's just like Galatians. The Judaizers came in and said, how do you get saved? You keep the law of Moses. There are people today that say, how do you get saved? You live a good life, you get baptized, you join a church, you do this, and you can be saved. So the Pharisees, they were religious people. There was a Pharisee, his name was Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. That meant he was on the Sanhedrin. Man, he was a very powerful man. And let me put these up, and you can fill it in as we go through it. In John chapter 3, Nicodemus comes to Jesus by night. Notice verse 2. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know you have come from God as a teacher, for nobody can do the signs that you're doing unless God's with you. I always like to look at that and say, this man said to Jesus, first of all, he came by night. Why did he come by night? Huh? He was embarrassed. Listen, he didn't want the other religious leaders to know that he's talking to Jesus, because what do the most religious leaders think about Jesus? He's a maverick. He's a renegade. We don't like him. We want to kill him, in fact. We don't even know what he's doing. We don't trust him. And so Nicodemus sees something, and so he comes to Jesus by night, and he calls Jesus Rabbi, which is really important, because that is a sign of respect. Instead of him coming and saying, I don't know who you are and what you're doing, but I want to, he came in and said, Rabbi, and then he says something amazing. We know you are a teacher. What? What does he say? Come from God. He didn't say you're the Messiah or the Savior. He said, I think you must be from God, because nobody can, and literally in the Greek, keep doing the miracles that you're doing. That's what he says. So it's powerful. And then Jesus says in verse 3, without saying thank you so much, because you could say, Jesus could say, hey, I've been looking for an endorsement. I've been looking for somebody out there in the religious community to say that I'm okay. Jesus didn't say that at all. In fact, he didn't want an endorsement from the religious community. He actually said, don't listen to them. He said, they come in there and they like the long robes and the good seats and this and this and this. He said, they're whitewashed tombs. They look good on the outside. They're dead on the inside. Watch what Jesus says to him. Jesus said to him, answered and said to him, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Born again. What does he mean, born again? Why does he say born again? He must be born again. Why does he say born again? Tell me why he has to be born again. He's dead spiritually, and he's got to be what? Reborn, born from above, he's got to be born again. Every one of us in this room, before you knew Jesus Christ, if you would have talked to Jesus, he would say, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you're born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. You cannot have eternal life. You cannot spend eternity with me unless you are spiritually alive, because you're spiritually dead. Every one of us in this room, we came into this world physically alive, but spiritually dead. Now, Nicodemus doesn't grasp it. He doesn't grasp it because, first of all, he's spiritually dead and he doesn't understand spiritual things. Then this is a spiritual truth. And so what does he say? Nicodemus said to him, wait a minute. How can a man be born when he's old? He cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb, can he? You can't go back. Look, how many times can you be born physically? How many times are you going to be born spiritually? Once. That's why Jesus is using the term born again, because when a person is born again, can they be unborn? No. So when you're born physically alive, you can't be unborn. When you're born spiritually alive, can you be unborn? No, you cannot. So watch what Jesus says to him. We already know that in verse 5, he says the same thing again. Unless you're born again of the water and the Spirit, which is talking about Holy Spirit thing, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. And by the way, I want you to listen carefully. You cannot enter the kingdom of God. The passage this morning, Sunday morning, Galatians chapter 5, says if you do certain sins, you cannot inherit the kingdom of God. There is a difference between inheriting the kingdom and entering the kingdom. We'll talk about it in the service because a lot of people get confused, and we'll talk more about it. Jesus says, unless you're born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. Look at verse 6. He says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. What is that? That's what kind of birth is that? That's physical birth. And then he says, but that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. What is that? Spiritual birth. Look at it. He says, you got to be born again. Now, let me ask you something. How is a person born again or born from above? The Greek word for again is anan, A-N-A, ana. And it actually means to be born again or be born above. It could be above or again. How is a person born from above or born again? That's exactly right. And so Nicodemus doesn't grasp all this. And so Jesus takes him back to, I'm not going to take the time because we don't have it. Jesus takes him back to Numbers 21 where snakes are biting. And Nicodemus would know the Bible. In fact, most Pharisees, are you ready for this one? Many Pharisees memorized the scripture beginning at Genesis 1:1 and going through the book of Deuteronomy. That's the first five books of the Bible. They had it memorized because you didn't have copies like we have. That was the Torah, and you could ask Pharisees Torah, and they could tell you things. Jesus said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the what? Son of man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him will have what? Eternal life. And he goes on to say, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus says, Nicodemus, the way you're born again is by faith. Faith in the Messiah. You trust in Jesus Christ and you're born again. Now, we're dead in sins. We're dead in trespasses and sins. We're spiritually dead. We need to be made spiritually alive. How are we made spiritually alive? By what? By faith in Jesus Christ. That's exactly it. That's what regeneration is. Now, you remember when President Carter was the president, he said, I'm a born-again Christian. There's no such thing as an unborn-again Christian. When he said, I'm a born-again Christian, what he's really saying is, I'm a Christian Christian. And there are a lot of people who said, are you a born-again Christian? I said, there's no other kind. If you trust Christ as Savior, you become a Christian, but you're automatically born again when you trust Christ as Savior. So here's a great truth. All must be born again to enter the kingdom and have eternal life with Jesus Christ. That's how it is. That's the truth. Now, watch this. Why? And this is a great question. Is he used this picture of birth? Why would Jesus use the picture of being born to show the idea of regeneration? Here's why. If a person is born physically, it can't be what? Can't be reversed. If a person is born spiritually, it can't what? Can't be reversed. Have you ever talked to people and they say, we think you could lose your salvation? And you say, wait a minute, when you trust Christ, you're born again, you're regenerated, you become a child of God. Where in the scripture says you can be unborn and not be a child of God? He used that picture on purpose because, let me tell you, a child can be born in this world and the mom and daddy can say, I don't want to have anything to do with them. And the child can say, I don't want to have anything to do with you. But is that still their child? Is that child still born from them? Of course, nothing can change it. And when you trust in Jesus Christ, your Savior, you're a what? Born again, and nothing can change that. You're a child of God. By faith in Jesus Christ, we're born again, made spiritually alive. That's why the last verse I put down is 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a what? New creation. You're born again. You're a new creation in Christ. So I want you to grasp regeneration and these terms. I'm hoping that over the weeks, you'll go back, you've got your handouts, you've got things that you're thinking through these biblical truths that we're seeing every week.